Welcome to the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here, exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Heard around the world online at uprntalkradio.com, on FM 107.7 New Orleans, as well as 105.9 in Pass Christian, Mississippi. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear in your local news. Like what you hear on the show? Then like the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and follow at Mind Cemetery on Twitter. If you want to check out the show on your time, download the Mind Cemetery off iTunes and at soundcloud.com/UPRN. For all of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's shows, visit mindcemetery.net for info on upcoming guests, weird news, award-winning blogs, show archives, and of course, the ever-present UFO Stalker. Join the discussion live in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network chat room on Pal Talk or call into the show at 1-504-273-7379. Yes, that is a big welcome again this week. Sorry for being late a little bit. Me and Joe get to talking every once in a while about things and happenings and some tapes that gets played before me with the guy that was very horn happy on a lot of Obama lies, basically. And yes, they were lies. And you know, I'm on the other side there. I'm a liberal, I guess, a wacko crazy lib, I guess. Sometimes not crazy enough for people, which really blew my mind the few times I've run into those situations. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, I thought I was fairly liberal, and then you get around some of them, and it goes crazy quick. So I'm one of those wacko libs that likes their guns. So I'm in that ballpark. So I guess I'm not that crazy. But anywho, a lot of lies Obama was saying in that recording, and I was just stunned at it, because we were talking at how stupid it was, you know, and how he couldn't even hold to his word when it comes to posting the bills that online for 5 days before he signs them into law. Couldn't even do that, you know? It's been ridiculous, you know, and that's just, you know, one of many things that are just outright lies. And oh, another one was something about putting on C-SPAN interactions with lobbyists and senators and stuff. What? Huh? That's just crazy talk right there. What? Why did anyone believe it? Why did we believe that as a country? It's, you know, he was selling his pure utopia Joe mentioned, also sometimes referred to as Taliban Joe, mentioned, only by me, of course, and my co-host Tuesday nights. I told him that one. That's what I'm calling Joe from here on out on the show, says the producer Taliban Joe. And, you know, they couldn't even uphold something that simple, and how every president since Nixon, it's just got even crazier with the promises to everybody on what they can get and in their life and how great it can be, you know? So it's just nuts going back and listening to that stuff from years ago when he was first elected. So real reality check. And then he mentioned how everybody's, you know, the left and right, and most people are disillusioned with their parties and the way nobody's working together and how they want something different and all this kind of stuff, right? And I just thought, well, that's an awfully dangerous environment, I think. So now you just leave the door open for any smooth-talking Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes down the pipe to pretty much promise you utopia again and say, ah, yeah, sure, that sounds great. Yep, here we go again. So who knows where the cycle will end. Where the merry-go-round stops, nobody knows, I guess, is the moral of that story. Maybe we'll live long enough to figure it out. or find out. Either way works for me. Thanks for joining me tonight. We did start a little late, as I said, but I kind of gave you the synopsis of the conversation we were having that we get involved in around here every once in a while. I do have a rather large bag of mixed nuts, and you could see that bag of mixed nuts if you were on Pal Talk, and you could see my webcam is up, and you could see the Mind Cemetery studio. Tomorrow, it'll be the Shrug Sport, the Big Shoulder Sports Show studio. So, see how that works? Yeah, it's crazy like that, right? So, you'll see some sports stuff up in the background now. I have considered putting up a UFO on some wire and letting it hang and dangle down around my head, and every once in a while I'll hit it and say, "What was that?" Look wide-eyed at the camera in amazement. Maybe not so amazement. Tonight's episode is sponsored by TK Digital. You can find them online, tkdigitalmarketing.com. Follow them on Twitter at tkdigitalmktg. And like TK Digital Marketing on Facebook. Looking for a boost to your business? Improve, establish, or revolutionize your digital marketing with a full-service digital team. From social media to web development to SEO and PPC. Learn more at tkdigitalmarketing.com. It's really an interesting thing, digital marketing these days, that's for sure. It's something that if you are a small business owner, you need to be into. Or if you're just another aspiring radio host out there. Because we all started from the bottom, and now we're here. To quote Drake. And as some of you know, I'm a big fan of Drake. Not really. I really despise the way he bandwagons and front runs. So, one thing I will say, look for him at the NHL Finals. Whoever wins that, see if Drake gets him some pictures with the winners or Bieber or any of those guys. See if he gets that going. See if he gets pictures with the Heat or the Spurs or whoever wins that one. See, that's a fun game to play. Where will Drake turn up next and get a picture of with someone? Which is ironic because he has some songs that are contradictory to the way he is. Had some questions in the chat room there. You can see me by just clicking on View My Cam next to my name there in Pal Talk. It's the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's Pal Talk chat room. You can jump into and chat with other people, and then there's a little camera icon next to the name to people that have cameras, and that's what I am doing now. I'm streaming tonight, and tomorrow night I'm streaming video with the audio, giving you more bang for your buck, so to speak. Providing a service that not a lot of live, and I stress that, not a lot of live shows stream video. So there. At least in the UFO paranormal world. World, he said. Radio, community, whatever you want to call it. What's really weird if you're in the chat room is that you're going to see like two logins with me. One's for the cam because I don't have an actual webcam, but one's for the camera on the laptop. So that's what I'm talking about. That's how easy it is, you know. And the other one is just me to chat and get the stories that I'll be talking about tonight, which I've got a couple things to talk about tonight. First of all, though, need to give out some congratulations to... I'm sorry, I got stuck reading the chat room again. Got stunned for a second. He did it again. Instant karma is going to get you, too. big congratulations out there to but you hear it here frequently on the Mind Cemetery. Oh, sorry about that. I had some stupid audio playing here, so that didn't make too much sense. It was a commercial for incompetence and ineptitude, something like that. And I was like, oh, you hear that often around here, at least on my show. But anyway, big congratulations to Sasha and Dave. Sasha Christie, as you know, co-host of Citizen Sane on here with Guy Weddle. She had her baby girl, Poppy May, so congratulations, and it's a great-looking baby. It really is. You know, you see a lot of newborn babies that are all scrunched up and wrinkly, just not so cute, right? Let's face it, newborn babies, for the most part, are not cute. Unless they're your own, and you, of course, think that they're the most amazing baby in the world, right? So you're kind of biased in that aspect as a parent. But secretly out there, we're judging each other's children. And this child is beautiful. Amazing job by all involved. Dave, an amazing donor, and Sasha, an amazing host, evidently. And, yeah, happened today. And everybody's doing great, so that's awesome. And very good-looking baby so far. So far, so good. Off to a good start. So now, finally, that's over. I'm not a fan of having any more children. At my age, I'm 36 now, so I'm pretty much good with babies. I'm done. I don't want to do that anymore. They are gluttons for punishment, I guess. No, but... good luck to them, and I know the next week there will be a lot of staring at the baby and staying up all night staring at the baby kind of stuff, because you can't help it. But at least with my second one, we tried to mitigate that, that's for sure. So congratulations to both of them over there and having their baby girl. That's fantastic. All right, so today... as I'm looking around at various things, I wanted to start off with another review of the Rendlesham Forest, Encounter in Rendlesham Forest book that Kevin Randall did. And let's see, it definitely was interesting to hear his take on it versus... the extensive work that Peter Robbins did on his, like, 62-page review of it, right? No, actually. Instant, he did not dump on it that hard. It was literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs, you know? And not very long at all of a review, and it really didn't go into any depths whatsoever. Other than talking about talking about how his experience that has never been talked about before, inside knowledge of the working of the British UFO desk and the MOD and their service with the Air Force, it's just, you know. Yeah, it's not that impressive of a review. Let's put it that way. The only thing, one paragraph. Let's see. He wrote, the one problem I had. Kevin Randall wrote in his review, the one problem I had with the book was its journey into material that, while interesting, did nothing to advance the case. As but a single example, there was a chapter beyond Rendlesham that examined briefly only a few semi-related cases, but not in enough detail. Not enough detail help in our understanding of the Rendlesham case. It's a wording mess up by him, I guess, a mistake. The death of Captain Thomas Mantell was, while chasing a UFO over Kentucky, is reduced to a single paragraph. Well, the irony that he mentions being reduced to a single paragraph, his critique of the book was reduced to a single paragraph, and it begins with, the one problem I had. Kevin, I'm a big fan of you, man. I do like you. I don't think we have too much beef, but Peter Robbins found quite a few more than one thing wrong with this. I notice maybe he's just staying clear of the whole beef. Okay, now that I think about it, let's just that's exactly what it is. We're just giving. You know, we're just fondling his balls a little bit. We're saying hello to him. And if you're on camera, you could see me juggling the mixed bag of nuts in my hand in the air. You know, maybe he's just giving him a cursory pat on the nuts saying, good job, buddy, and away they go. You know, maybe that's what it all is. And, you know, to make it seem unbiased, this is his attempt at a critique on the thing. So... interesting, definitely. But I guess if that's what you want to do to keep the peace in the community as a whole, that's fine. But I don't really see a reason to keep any kind of peace. If you're asking me, there is definitely no reason to leave people out there like that as producing any kind of book that was worth anything. And I think he pretty much said that in that it doesn't advance the case. So if you're making a book and it doesn't advance the case, then what's the point of making the book? To sell some XOXO, or I mean, the dash or the 1010 Fest? I mean, you already sold that like 2 years ago. And now you just got a book. Okay. Well, whatever. I don't believe your book's selling that well because it's garbage. And I saw some things and they're talking about what awesome people they are, you know, they are and how good they are and all this. And I'm like, it's ridiculous. You know, they're not really that fantastic of human beings. And, And it really shows in the way that they treat other people. Sorry about that. Just doing the chat room thing. Yeah, you're messing me up over there. yeah, it may be just the thing that you do, I guess, out there when you're a researcher out on the tour making your bones while you sing your song and dance to your next gig, I guess. You tell each other what a great job you've done in your recent book, and away you go. And anybody comes out with a book actually critiquing anybody, or a review actually critiquing it, you just kind of don't talk about it. Because if you notice, I have not heard too many people talking about the Robbins review of it. And that tells me not so much about... it tells me basically that nobody's buying the book. No one cares about the book. And it's great in that respect because it couldn't happen to three more deserving individuals involved in that. So, yes, on the cam there in the room, if you don't have the subscription, it's only like 5 seconds or 7 seconds or whatever. But I don't think you get that streaming video on the app for the Pal Talk app. It may be overloading it a bit on your poor little iPhone or whatever device you have that's masquerading as a smartphone. So that was the gist of the Randall review. It wasn't really... anything too great and kind of a bummer to read. It just, like I said, just a cursory, hey, good job. We'll do this for you. I'll write a review for you and put it out there. So, not too great. And evidently not too great of a book. And it's funny to... read the quotes on there. Lance Moody, of course, famous skeptic there that outed Phil and Brogdon, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. I remember Holt being quoted saying, the events were so strange that he might withhold some information because he might disturb the public's sense of reality too much. One, of course, wonders what exactly he meant by that. I think he means that, and this is Lance, I think he means that he hopes to sell a few more books with those kind of silly pronouncements. Kevin replied to Lance, I don't believe Holt has written a book. Shouldn't you wait for it before you condemn it? Well, that's my problem with Charles Holt. Is every year it's this telling you, this may be the last year I tell this tale, and I don't know if I want to do this anymore, and he always wants to throw his hands up and run away. But then in another, you know, next city, same story, you know, there's no tour going around to people, of people going to all these conferences to hear these people. It's not like the Grateful Dead tour where you follow the UFO conferences around the country. That might be interesting to do, and I believe it'd be make a nice little documentary there. But you can pretty much say whatever you want in town to town and get away with it. You know, but now more along the lines of the need to sell DVDs of the conferences and all that kind of stuff. The real money is in live streaming video of a conference, and that's exactly what needs to start happening more and more. I know some do it. I hear of one or two a year, maybe. I haven't heard of one this year going on, and of course I don't have my ear to the ground on all these conferences, so I could be wrong, and I most likely am, so I'm not really too concerned with that, because I haven't heard those things. So it'd be nice to watch something streaming every once in a while, a conference, or be able to at least jump in on specific people's talks that they give or presentations that they give, so I could pick and choose what I want, basically. So you'd be selling time slots within the conference. I don't know if that's all just pie in the sky, but it seems like a no-brainer to me how to do it. And then you start finding out who wants to, you know, have a who wants to be entertained and who wants to be informed. So you start seeing who's the big draws and all that kind of stuff. And another thing that I always wonder is how come these people or these so-called celebrities don't go out there and just have streaming discussions themselves, just sell tickets to it, you know, hit through PayPal or run it through a credit card, $25. I'll do an hour or 2 hour presentation, you know, and talk about this or this or this and do it every week. And instead of these stupid UFO camps, I don't know. It's just a thought. It's just a thought, but what do I know? Obviously the model of having old people show up in a hotel room near an airport has been working just fine. I mean, for the love of God. For the love of God, does it have to be that way? Evidently, you're just trained that way. Conference in Argentina. Wow. Nice. That's awesome. That's pretty much halfway across the earth. it's pretty far. Oh, yeah, I know who it is. I just didn't want to say on the radio there. I didn't know. But yeah, that's a nice trip. Are you going to go? Hey, you know what? Isn't that where the Atacama being came from that Greer had there? The desert, the Atacama desert up there. Yeah, maybe you can get a look at that little thing. You know, at the old fetus there, Chuck, get a hold of it. See if you can put your hands on it. Everybody else has put their bare hands on it. and then put gloves on. maybe they're selling another one in a store somewhere. I would be I wouldn't be too surprised if you start seeing those crop up in a in the Atacama Desert gift shop. As if. The gift shop is actually a hut. And you may or may not get bitten by something inside there. Classic. So, yeah, that's the Kevin Randall response to it. That wasn't too fantastic, I thought. But, hey, whatever. I gets it. Evidently, they're looking to make a Pacific Rim 2 right now, if you're a fan of that franchise. I don't know. I saw it the first time. Guillermo del Toro has dropped some tasty tidbits. Let's see, off BuzzFeed here. Been working on a few. Been working for a few months now in secret on it. Found a way to twist it around. If we were going to do a prequel, I was never interested in doing a prequel. I was never interested in doing that first wave of Invasion. I'm doing. I'm going for very new, very crazy ideas on the second one, which are very difficult from the first one. Oh, very different from the first one, sorry. But you will get really great spectacle. Oh, okay. So you're just going for a special effects fest, I guess. Yeah, the trailers were spot on with that bad boy, that's for sure. Pretty much wrapped it up in the scenes right there. It was worth watching for the most part. Looks like they're actually capable of putting a hologram in your hand, a 3D projector that could fit into a mobile phone. Same capabilities as R2-D2. What? You mean to tell me he's obsolete? That's weird. How come they didn't just come up with cell phones in this galaxy far, far away? Financed by £60 million of venture capital. From venture capital firms. Facebook's first outside investor. So there's some bucks there behind this little project. Oh, Microsoft is working on its own. Facebook bought the Oculus for £1.2 billion. Crazy right there. That's nuts. But who knows how we'll see it, and they'll repackage it and market it to us. It consists of 6 chips laid together that so far can emit a 3D image of green dice into the air. Hmm. Well, it won't be long. We'll be sending Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi, You're My Only Hope, 3D images to each other and think it's so funny. Try to be the first. Try to make it go viral. Maybe you could do it while wearing the Google Glass. Google Glass would be a good time. So I saw a Majestic 12 video a few days ago on the 4th it came out. So it was about 5 days ago. Not too long after the show I saw this pop up on UFO Updates, which I'm a big fan of that page because it's got smart people there and not a lot of garbage. So it's a good time. It's definitely worth being in. So anyway, this Majestic 12, a UFO disinformation scandal is the name of the video over from Open Minds TV. And It has Alejandro, of course, narrating, like all your other favorite videos have out there from Open Minds. So, basically, they went through the story of Paul Benowitz, Richard Doty, the Majestic 12 documents, this information, Stanton Freeman in on it, Bill Moore, Phil Klass, Linda Moulton Howe, you know, all these people that got wrapped up in this Majestic 12 craze, and it was pretty much propagated by Richard Doty and Benowitz's craziness, and I just, it amazes me. First of all, I did make a point to say that my faith was restored. In Open Minds and the people there, at least for now. Okay, it's back in, but there's always room to screw it up. Let's put it that way. And I know it's very important to them to keep me happy. I'm sure they're telling me to go piss off, and that's fine. That's whatever, you know. Everybody has that option. But this video goes on to explain how a bunch of people involved in the investigation of the Majestic 12 shenanigans, who were also at the beginning of the Roswell investigations and attached their names to all that kind of stuff, Stanton Freeman, I don't know. I am asking myself this, and this is what I posted on that page, and I'd love for people to go watch this video from Open Minds, because I don't promote much that they do because, you know, philosophical differences, let's just say, sometimes. And I understand that they are a money-making venture. So they do kind of want to keep the door open to make some cash and all that kind of stuff. So I can't blame you for that. That's just your marketing strategy. Why would you want to reduce the amount of people, right, by splitting hairs? But in this video, you see basically the reasons why those involved with Majestic 12 and the Roswell and Benowitz and Doty, and if it all came from that poisoned well, then why should anything be believed that's being produced? Because I know Stanton's argument is going to be the same as everyone else's. And it's going to be the same for most pseudoscientists out there. And that is that even if the documents have been proven false, the ones that haven't been proven a hoax or false or anything like that, well, there's still a smoking gun here for us to bark up that tree. And it's like, you're seeing the same crossover mix of information between the hoax and your supposed real ones. Then what's the problem here? Why are you standing behind these documents that are obviously not authentic, right? And then you get to ask yourself, how long have they done this kind of thing? Because, or stayed in the business because of this kind of shenanigans? Linda Moulton Howe, for God's sakes. Her stupid Earth files. All right? You go ahead and try and look at that stuff. You have to pay. You have to pay to do anything. She shows up at all the conferences with her buddy George, and they both hold hands and sing soft songs about how much money they're getting and screwing people in the face and how easy it is for dopes. And you hold up, I got a daytime Emmy or some local news Emmy or whatever stupidness it was. It's an achievement. Congratulations. You know, we're all very proud of that. But, you know, there are points in some individuals' lives out here that, you know, after you have these fantastic achievements, things go bad quick. Things go wildly off the rails. And Exhibit A to that is Alfred Weber. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, he was once a brilliant man. Now he's just nuts. Okay? So, I'm done with the whole holding on to documents that haven't been proven false yet, so they must be real. And there's your pseudoscience right there. Nuclear weapons used to knock down the World Trade Center towers. That's crazy. There was one thing that I took from this video and I thought was hilarious. Even Timothy Good was saying your whole thing is flawed. These documents are fake. What are you doing? This Majestic 12 stuff can't be, believed in for 5 seconds or wasted any time on. You shouldn't waste any time on it, basically. And that should be your high sign right there, because I think Timothy Good's very good at entertaining people with the things he says. I saw him speak in person along with Charles Holt, and oh boy. I was like front row with Charles Holt, just sitting there. And Timothy Good, actually. And it was a good time listening to them. He showed pictures that I have not seen before up when, during his presentation on the slideshow and everything. And it was weird. Yeah, there were some drawings that I had not seen before. Some depictions, let's put it that way. So, if he's going to be out there saying that this isn't kosher, then I don't know what I got to do. Just watch the video and see it for yourself. So, who knows how long it'll be until I see something like the promotion of a Planet Serpo story or something like that. So, who knows? Who knows what they'll be promoting next that'll upset me, but for now, peace is being kept. I just don't go to them for a majority of my other news. And this is a perfect example of how a good story about Majestic 12 that, in my opinion, should be the absolute basis for... This should be the beginning point. This is where a beginner should go to if they want to learn about Majestic 12. Just start here. It's a nice one-stop shop for everybody to go to actually figure out what's going on. And then what's even more insane is I saw a thing today where some people were talking about Doty, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I was like, are you actually referring to him with any kind of credibility or as a source or reference for something that you're going to say? Or because, no, that's not going to work out so well either. I'm not a fan of that, hearing that nonsense, especially after this. Little synopsis put together here. It's 30 minutes, but it's well worth it. 29 minutes, 29, 14 seconds. So it won't kill you to watch it. That's for sure. I did not manage to get out and promote tonight's show. Because I was busy today. Amazingly, running all over the place. I'm going to go on a little rant against Best Buy today. So we did the site pickup, right? And I go there to pick everything up, and I've got kids, and I just walk in, and I'm like, here's my stuff, here's my information, here's what I was picking up. It's not here yet. First of all, I had to sit and wait, and in the meantime, corral my kids. But since they made me wait, I really didn't give a damn if they tore up the place. So I was like, do what you want, kids. You know, go crazy. And that's the high sign to my son. If I say go crazy, turn up. All right. Hashtag turn up is what he does. It's over. You know. So he's jumping around, and I'm sitting there waiting, and they're like, and I finally get up there, and he's looking through all my paperwork, and that takes another 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then he's like, we don't have his stuff. And I'm like, now I got to go to the stupid Apple store because I had an appointment today. Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that, too. You know, I might as well get into it, because this was the whole shenanigans of today, going back and forth between these two clown places. I leave Best Buy with nothing in my hands when they just got done telling me everything was there. Then I get an email saying, hey, everything's at the store. I was like, I just walked out of the store. I know it's not there. Why are you lying to me? You know? it was really ridiculous. So I had to go to the Apple store, right? Had a iPod Touch problem with the charger, right? We bought this attachment for my son to play games on it, and putting it in and taking it out, obviously, was too much for him, and he broke it off, so there was a piece stuck in where the charger goes, so I had to get that extracted, as they say in the professional world. As they say in the alien implants extraction world. By the way, is another classic story. Who knows what's going on with that, though, to be honest. God, I used to be all about that. But then I thought, why would they leave pieces behind in us? I don't know. Anyway, but I digress. So then, you know, you got to go to the Apple store. Well, you got to make an appointment to go to the Apple store. You can't just walk into the Apple store without an appointment, right? So you go into this clown town after you get done dealing with the blue shirt bozos, of which, by the way, while I'm standing there waiting, I get asked if I need help like 5 different times. And I'm like, yes. Site to pick up. And they're like, oh, he'll help you in a minute. Dude. Oh, no kids and no conscience. It'd be a different story right now. As Warren Sapp used to say back in the day. So, I get there, and I was late, of course, by like 10 minutes, and to the Apple store. And I'm like, yeah, I had an appointment, and just I need someone just to get some tweezers, basically, and get this out of here. And, of course, you know, I don't know how they did it, but they got the tools, obviously. And it was like no time at all, in and out of there. It was the most pleasant experience at the Apple store I've ever had, because usually it's I'm inundated with the feeling of wanting to punch everybody in the teeth because they're busy wearing a stocking beanie in the middle of the summer, or they have a beard or a big giant hoop in their ear or a piercing on their face or some other augmentation. Skinny jeans, whatever the hell it is, okay? Something going on with them that they've done to make themselves interesting. Okay? They've established not a life, but a conversation piece. in their life, for the most part. Apple employees, that is. And it's always very interesting in there, the collection of folks, right, that belong in this joint. And I just, what I love more than anything is going in there and being like, yeah, this is my son's, third device, right? iPod, iPhone, iPad, Kindle Fire. I was like, yeah. And he's like on his second iPad, by the way. So when I go in there and there's some dope wanting to just buy one, you won't even talk about the other products that we have here. That, of course, you know, I myself am not an Apple, a Mac fan in any way, shape, or form. Do not get me wrong. You can take that pretentious stuff and stick it, right? That's how I feel as soon as I get in there. I feel like walking in, grabbing a hipster by the beard and saying, smokes, give me some hairdo, you know, chips, hairdo, get over here. So I feel like Ricky walking in this joint, you know, with a lot less hair. That is Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, if you haven't seen that, which do on Netflix have a new movie out. It's 2014 Live in Dublin. So check that out. I just got through about half of it. And I'll talk about another movie I only got through about half of, and I tried watching it twice, maybe three times now. And I couldn't, I can't do it. I can't even get through the half of the half. their Apple products are overpriced, and they go through this Mac Genius bar thing. I put my son on the Mac Genius bar, by the way. I was like, just sit here. Sit here and play this. And I grabbed one of the demo things. I'm like, here you go. Beat it. Get out of my face. Yeah, I'm waiting. What about it? Lo and behold, 2 minutes later, fixed. They pulled the little thing out. It looked like a mini staple, but it was just a piece of the stupid charger. Hey, no charge. See ya. This was the least headache of my day. I love you hipsters. I take back everything bad I ever said. At least for 5 minutes or so. You made my life easy. It was the most enjoyable experience I had there. Then again, my experience on the phone trying to set one of these appointments didn't go so well because, of course, you have to go to the website and log in with your Apple ID and just go to hell. Can't I just get a person? Can't you just write down on a piece of paper when I'm supposed to be in, or tell hipster Dave with the goatee to sign in on his iPad when I'm supposed to be there, or what? I don't know what you do there. Between sucking down lattes and telling me about your next app, I have no idea what's going on in this store. There's a lot of people oohing and on. I let my 4-year-old run nuts in this joint. Do what you want. Do your worst is what I do every time. I love the look on their faces, too, when he just drops the devices and they swing on the little chain. I'm like, yep. Your problem, not mine, pal. So that's the first hour tonight on the Mayan Cemetery. What are those bombshells that I was going to have? Oh, I had two. Deuce. Dropped two bombs. One I'll talk about in the next hour of a coming project. Possibly, maybe, I'm thinking about it. But I'm gauging interest, milling it around, thinking to myself, is it really necessary? Who knows? So we'll be back about 8-10 minutes afterwards, after the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody for coming out and listening to the first hour, to me and my rambles and my musings about things and happenings and going-ons in the UFO paranormal world, and we'll get more and back to it in the next hour. Follow me on Facebook, Mayan Cemetery. Follow me on Twitter, at Mayan Cemetery. I tweet out a lot of news stories out there, so it's good for your feed. I pull a lot of RSS feeds in, so it's good for you. One-stop shopping there for you. Same thing with the Mayan Cemetery Facebook page. And if you're already a part of it, I'm almost at 650 likes, so I'd like to get at 650. I like round numbers. Once I get 650, I'll be like a crackhead and say, give me 700. That'll be next week, though. Don't worry. That's how the internet works, I guess. So we'll be back. Taliban Joe, take it away. Back at the studio.
Welcome to the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here, exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Heard around the world online at uprntalkradio.com, on FM 107.7 New Orleans, as well as 105.9 in Past Christian, Mississippi. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear in your local news. Like what you hear on the show? Then like the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and follow at Mind Cemetery on Twitter. If you want to check out the show on your time, download the Mind Cemetery off iTunes and at soundcloud.com/UPRN. For all of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's shows, visit mindcemetery.net for info on upcoming guests, weird news, award-winning blogs, show archives, and of course, the ever-present UFO Stalker. Join the discussion live in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network chat room on Pal Talk or call into the show at 1-504-273-7379.
Welcome back. Hour number two, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, Mind Cemetery. Follow me on Facebook, Mind Cemetery. Follow me on Twitter, at Mind Cemetery. And I say that because it's very important that you do these kind of things. You know what's even more important than that? To get me 650 likes on my Facebook page. That's what's most important. No, seriously, beyond that, if you do follow the page, you are alive. Go over there and like some of the stories. Because as you well know, small businesses, radio shows alike, people's Facebook pages' reach is not what it used to be. To increase that reach, you have to like the stories on the page. That's why I've got some of the best RSS feeds going on out there. Feeding into the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and Twitter account, at Mind Cemetery. So, you get all the good ones. UFO Chronicles is there, one of my favorites. Cryptomundo's there, of course. You know, you get everything. One-stop shop, like I said, folks. Do yourself a favor and stop filling your feed with garbage. More and more multiple people's garbage, that is. If you like the story, like it, retweet it. If you're on Facebook, talk about it. You think it's BS, call it. Call it how you see it. It probably is. A lot of it's entertainment purposes. But very rarely will you see something on there that is really good. And if I catch it and I'm not busy that day, I'll let you know what I like on my page, what's going on. That's another thing. With the, you know, reduction in your reach and all that, don't be surprised when you start seeing me shamelessly liking my own posts. It's to increase the reach or throw the algorithm off, if I can at all. All right? It's what everybody should be doing now, unfortunately, is that they're turning it into. That's why I've gone more into Twitter. Twitter is much easier to have conversations with people, I think, and reach more people quickly. A lot faster, immediate feedback, that is. Hashtag immediate feedback at Mind Cemetery. And I'll prove it. It'll happen. Almost 6,000 followers. So that's if the algorithm is correct. Because that doesn't mean they're almost 6,000 interactors, that's for sure. There you go. Boom. Bingo bango. Hashtag city on Twitter. And I'll retweet it. So, boom. And there you see. The way it works. Couldn't get that on Facebook.
That's for sure.
Oh, you have to pay for it, though. you have to pay for it a lot more to get that kind of reach. So that's the moral of the story when it comes to Facebook these days. I'm trying to get off of it. I can't stand it that much anymore. It's not really worth it in the long run. Yeah. I just want to see if anybody watched a little bit of the Game of Thrones last night. It was good. Very good. Stayed focused on the wall for the first time, an entire episode. That's a good way to stretch it out and make you want, you know. It's going to make you want to see more in the finale. Montauk Project Mystery. UFOs, extraterrestrial beings, interdimensional travel, Nazi scientists, reptilian beings, and much more. How much more really do you need besides that? Doesn't that sum it up for you? It's pretty much everything a growing boy needs. That's for sure. You can't go wrong with that. 504-273-7379. Open line here. I'm surprised. Let me know if you saw Game of Thrones in this last episode. Because evidently the giant that was in the tunnel played for UNC many years ago. So that's kind of cool. And I'm impressed they even killed him. But they did get the one with, like, that giant arrow that they shot at him. Forget what that thing was called. But, yeah, it was a bad day for him. But what do you expect? You're a huge target. Evidently, they were setting off nuclear... they almost set off a nuclear bomb here in North Carolina near Goldsboro in 1961. And I caught that tonight from Shep on Facebook, Shepard Johnson. He catches a lot of weird stories from the area here in the southeast and the Carolinas and Virginia and so on. And evidently... it was an active warhead that was dropped, and it just didn't explode, and we got incredibly lucky. It's incredible when you think about how close to disasters people came, to ruining everything. And they're like, yeah, this could have caused, you know, a nuclear war, basically. And I'm like, yikes. You know, just imagine that stuff just laying around out there and going on all the time in the early 60s. All the explosions. MK-39 bombs. A mishap in the safe position. It really wasn't safe. Imagine that. Oh, yeah. We'll see. Solid movie.
Did I make it in?
Made it in. Yeah, in the Game of Thrones episode, they would have used the... That, I forget what you even... Do you even know what they call that weapon?
I don't know.
So, is Chip still on, or everybody else still on, or...
You're on, baby. Nope, not anymore. We almost had a conversation with Callie in this episode. Almost. He'll probably call back in. We'll see. Yeah, it pretty much was failsafe there, which coincidentally, failsafe was the name of a
band in my high school at the time. Interesting. You can look them up. It's a true story. True story. True story. I know those dudes.
Hi, this is Christian Corolejo. I'm unavailable right now, but please leave a message after the time.
Back.
Taliban Joe has declared jihad, I believe. Frank Olson was drugged with LSD and murdered by the CIA. A U.S. government scientist drugged by the CIA, agents and then thrown to his death from a 13th floor of a Manhattan hotel after he learned about secret torture sites in Europe. Uh-oh. What? This is a long time ago. Don't worry. Murdered in 1953 after he discovered that his biological research was being used to torture and kill suspects in Norway and West Germany. Yikes. Evidently, allegedly given LSD in a glass of brandy and then executed by the CIA and then thrown out the window and said, well, he was on acid. So, it was interesting afternoon there in 1953. I don't know, was LSD even invented in 53? Was it such a thing? Is that a thing in 53? Let me Google it for the better of humanity. When was LSD created? Right? We're going to just roll with that? Discovered in Switzerland, huh?
Guess who's back?
Who's back? Back again.
Yeah.
What's up?
And nothing much. Just hoping I'll stay on the phone this time.
You're on.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually just making a quick call because my dog's getting a little antsy. I have to take him on a run. But mostly I wanted to like suggest a potential connect sports with the supernatural. And I heard this topic before on another show, and it's actually amazing what kind of stuff people do in terms of like supernatural stuff, like some kind of like prayer, ritual, or chant.
Yeah,
or, like curses and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That's an awesome thought right there. There's plenty in baseball of like superstition that you see people doing, and unwritten rules of the game and all this kind of garbage. In football, not so much. You see it in a lot of movies being depicted, too. You see it in Major League when they had Joe Boo in there. Obviously a voodoo god thing going on.
It is really
prevalent in baseball more than anything.
Yeah, is the Billy Goat Curse one of them, or the Curse of the Billy Goat, as it's sometimes called?
Yeah, and as a Cubs fan, I can't stand that story, but I can't believe they were letting barn animals in the stadium to begin with at any time, but evidently I guess they were. But, that whole deal, who knows what else is out there, and curse-wise, you know, there's curse of, Babe Ruth's curse in Boston, and they proved that, you know, didn't exist. So it really is just a marketing ploy, I think, in baseball for the most part, but on individual levels, when it comes to players, there's definitely ritualistic tendencies.
Anyway, it's still like a fun topic to go over if you ever feel like it. But like, anyway, but actually, I don't really know what else to add to that. I kind of forgot what you're talking about. But you were mentioning that whole Rellstrom Forest case and mentioning a bunch of the nuts in the nut bag in the ufology field, like
Alfred
Weber, I forget who else you mentioned. And
pretty much everybody that was mentioned in the Majestic 12 video that followed down that path. You know, Stanton Freeman is clinging on to shreds and of hope and staying relevant, and he really isn't. And Linda Moulton Howe is the same way. And, you know, the entire Majestic 12 Paul Benowitz, Richard Doty, that whole fountain is a poison fountain as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and when they, like, people, like, realize that if, like, there's some kind of, like, one world government, that the world would be going in so many different directions, because it seems like all the countries are being a value of nationalism, just sticking with their own country and forcing their own borders rather than becoming, you know, one world government. So if there is a Majestic 12 and move to make, put all the countries under control, they're doing a really crappy job at it. So,
right. And that's, you know, more proof of it not existing, let alone all the fake documents that have been proven to come out, right?
They're having, like, one country per member or something like that.
It'd be more than 12, though, right? It'd be a crowded room. And they already do.
That might cause inner disputes between them, like, who gets which country, and is what country even having... Like, I don't know which, like, who would want, like, a random small country in Europe or Africa, but...
Yes. You never know. There's many perks to go along with being a president, I see. From what I've seen, you're basically a king.
I have to get going. I'm sorry it has to be so short.
Well,
I always enjoy talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. Go ahead. Okay, there you go. He got him. Taliban Joe might have cut him off. You know, he has declared jihad on the Mine Cemetery, so most of my callers are going to have to face the abuse. Unless you're, you know, a fan of Allah, then he's okay with you. You're his kind of guy. So be nice when you come in. Take your shoes off. I don't know if that's a thing. I think that's an Asian thing. Let's see how many people I can offend in the next 10 minutes. Or the last 10 minutes. I can grow a beard, and I just don't want to. It's too itchy when it gets to a certain point. Ugh. It just gets bad. Japan, there we go. It's Japanese when you take your shoes off. You know, quit getting my floor dirty, you bum. I work hard on them floors for my money. So, no, he was on a good point. He had a good point when it comes to the superstition and crossover and curses and things like that, especially in baseball. It's most prevalent in baseball, where I think you also have a higher amount of stupid going on in baseball, right? I think you have more of a dependency on these superstitions in baseball than any other sport, because for a long time before, you know, and I hate to get too much sport talky, but, you know, for a long time, baseball wasn't all steroidy and drug doped up, and people didn't want to do that. They didn't want to pack on a bunch of muscle and change the way their body is and, you know, the muscle makeup, because they thought that if I did that, it would change how I play the game. So a lot of people didn't do that, but it worked out for some. Just keep in mind, steroids don't help hand-eye coordination, so that's kind of a important part of baseball. And life in general, I've noticed. Comes in handy. So yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow night, though, on Big Shoulder Sports Show. I actually got dropped from the call. Taliban Joe has been ruthless today. He's got his sitar out, and he's lobbing off heads of infidels today. No. Oh, I want to talk about upcoming guests that I finally have real quick. It is the upcoming guests that I have. I have actually two scheduled. Put it down in the books, son. It's for real. Recently, I've noticed this guy a lot, and I've seen him on YouTube a few times. I've watched some of his YouTube video. He is a Bigfoot hunter. He is a squatcher. He is into cryptotainment. he calls it, which, by the way, I love the term cryptotainment to begin with. You know, if you can label what you do, then you are on the way. Now, where you're on the way to, I don't know, but, you know, you're going somewhere, so you're on it. You're on the ball. You had a nice, you had an original thought. A Chris from Big Huntin' Vids videos, Bigfoot Huntin', and yes, it's spelled H-U-N-T-I-N, Huntin'. So I know a lot of Bigfoot people out there will be able to understand that because they go squatching, right? There's always a lot of ins in cryptotainment, I guess. So he'll be here next week, at least for an hour, talk about his videos, talk about how he goes out in the woods and makes his videos and does his investigations and his outside-the-box thinking, let's put it that way. So we'll have him on next week. He'll be fun for at least an hour. And we have in the 23rd, none other than Norio Hayakawa, and I have not had him on in a very long time, if at all, on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I might have had him, I probably did have him back on Blog Talk. I had a lot of people back on Blog Talk that I knocked out that I'm going to have to go back and get here. You know, some shows do duplicates every year. You know, they'll have people back. And maybe I should start doing that, too, because it seems to work. It's either, you know, you have the same people back year after year, or you have the complete nutbags entertainment time. yeah, the reason I had Norio on, wanted to have him on, at least, is that he jumped off Facebook for a little bit. And my good pal on Facebook, Phil Mancuso, gave me a heads up when he saw it, and I went to looking, and I said, yep, for sure, he be gone. And next thing you know, he popped back on, and I hit him with an email, and boom. He's like, no, I'm back, all that good stuff. And so he's back posting, and who knows what happened, and we'll talk about that in the next couple weeks. On the 23rd, we'll have Norio on, and you know how I roll when I have guests on. I like to ask them about their life and what they do outside of ufology as a person and who they are. You know, not just all UFOs and shenanigans all the time. And I think that's a route that a lot of other shows miss out on because they try to go straight to. So you do investigative work, tell me about the gray alien and the UFO and the probing and the, you know, and the implants and the crop circle and the mutilation and all that kind of stuff and your hybrid baby and, you know, I know, I get it, all right, I've heard enough. I've heard so much, by the way, that I can't even get through this video or this documentary on Netflix that I caught and I saw on Facebook where, I don't know, somebody was pushing it around. Saying that it was up on Netflix now. So I jumped on it, and it's called The Hidden Hand, and it's got, like, a guy on the cover. Half his face is a gray alien. The other half looks like John Alexander, you know, and he's all suited up saluting and doing his Captain America thing, which I'm sure that pisses people off when I say that. But anyway, it is what it is. I fell asleep through the movie twice now. I can confirm two times that I watched it from the beginning and fell asleep about a half hour, 40 minute in. Okay? So, Taliban Joe did, though. Taliban Joe just said, screw it, I'm leaving camp and I'm going straight to Jihadville. He turned on us quick. He had no problem. Sorry. I'm talking in the chat room here. And if you were online listening, you can go to Pal Talk and join the UFO Paranormal Radio Network Pal Talk chat room. And also get the streaming video. I'm streaming live video. You can see what I look like. I know it's killing you to know. You can also listen on your phone. Live 365 app works very well. There also is Pal Talk app that you can listen to and interact. So, Pedal Banjo won't lob your head off if you log in and jump in the deep end with me. No, I'm just kidding. so I couldn't make it all the way through it from the beginning twice. So I tried starting in the middle, and I fell asleep like within 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So I don't know if I'm meant to actually watch the Hidden Hand documentary. I think I'm screwed. But to its discredit, it didn't have a lot of riveting information. Have you ever seen it, Jason?
No, I haven't seen it, but man, I might find it and give it a look. Hell, I'm bored. I need media to consume.
Yeah. You got Netflix?
No, but I can steal anything that's out on. Steal anything that's on Netflix. That's no problem.
Okay. You just torrent it and say screw it. Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm too cheap for $8 a month. You know, fuck the man.
Oh, they got a new Trailer Park Boys movie on there too. The Live in Ireland. So there was two movies right there that I have been watching lately, but I couldn't get through it. Dolan's in it, you know, all the usual suspects are in it. Our boy Jeremy Vaney's in it.
Jesus Christ, dude. I mean, what contribution has that fat bastard made to, like, ufology in any way whatsoever?
Well, funny you should mention that. He actually, from what I was able to stay awake through the movie, I had not seen him speak. So he was just part of like the sports group that was sitting in a circle and looking very disheveled, like he was very happy to get out of bed that morning and put on his sweatpants shorts and a shirt too small. God knows he couldn't comb his hair for it, so he looked very relaxed, let's put it that way. Like he just showed up. He probably just woke up a half hour before.
Man, is that all you need to, like, make a documentary? Because, oh, man, we could get all the ICAR group together, dude, and just, like, hang out on the beach around a fire and talk or something like that. If that's all it really takes.
Well, no, this was like a round table group discussion kind of thing that went on throughout the movie. Like, the movie was, you know, split up into sections like they did one, you know, what do the aliens look like? And then they're like, this is the gray alien section, and then implant section, and here comes Roger Lear, the podiatrist, talking about removing things from everyone's body. And, I mean, that's my thing with that is that he's just a foot doctor, so what's going on here? Why is he cutting people open all the time, left and right, removing stuff, you know, which I don't know what there is to the implant thing, but some of the stuff looked pretty cool.
Well, probably like, because there's not a legitimate surgeon out there is like, no, man, I got, like, a job and money and a family and shit. I ain't doing that.
I wonder if you could set that kind of, what happened to all the mob doctors, huh, when you need something like this done? We got all these CIA spooks around, and nobody knows a mob doctor to show up and cut somebody open real quick, huh?
Yeah, man, or, like, some snakehead bush doctor or something, anything.
Yeah. We don't get into that stuff. So.
Oh, man, I did try to call in when the Game of Thrones discussion was going on. I mean, that was actually cool, dude. I mean, like, it was all at the wall. It was, like, an awesome battle, no betrayal gardens, none of the stupid shit.
Yep. Yeah, it was. I think it was the first episode that focused solely on one aspect of the story, and it needed to be done because it was sorely mistaken, you know, and downplayed throughout the whole thing. There's really too much story going on to tell, in my opinion, right now.
I know,
you know?
Man. It's almost like keeping up with Game of Thrones is like a history test, just about.
Yeah, yeah. And they got to keep touching people where you forget them and all that. It's weird. You know, it's tough. The next episode should be a good time. I love seeing people freak out about Tyrion dying, you know. Oh, if he dies, you know, I'm not watching the show anymore. I'm like, do you guys not read the books or anything? I don't know what's going on with these people, but it's like either you don't read the book or you don't even go on the internet.
And those are all the same people like, man, I couldn't take the Red Wedding. I'm quitting this shit. I can't do it no more. Man, that's the good thing about Game of Thrones. It'll, like, rip your heart out and stomp on it and do it again, and you'll be happy that it is doing it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when the mountain smashed in Oberyn's head, that didn't happen. You know, he smashed his head on his, like, armor. That would have been cooler to see than what he did, in my opinion. Like, what he... Smashing the guy's skull is just over the... you know, for the sake of being over the top. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a Quentin Tarantino movie at that point. It's like, what did you really accomplish? The way it was in the book was good enough.
I know, it's like, you know, just knowing enough of the story, it's like, I pretty much already knew how, you know, it was going to end. But, you know, that little, I guess they got to throw that little twist in there to keep the book nerds, yeah, you know, up in arms or something. About
yeah.
Generating them form hits.
Yeah, and then not hold completely to it so they could stray from it, which, you know, of course, they're already doing drastically. So we'll see how much farther they go. You can check out the archive, soundcloud.com/UPRN. I'm usually up there. And my thing, too, Taliban Joe, if you don't mind, the infidel is going to make a request that make sure I get just a sports-themed picture to go with the sports show post, not your pedophile and the robot from Lost in Space picture. Oh, Lost in Space. Speaking of Lost in Space, the Funkadelic Mothership is going to be on display at the Smithsonian. Made famous by George Clinton's Parliament. This thing looks weird, but it looks legit. It looks like a legit UFO. Like if they put this sucker in the air, they launched this and got this to fly, it'd fool a ton of people. That's for sure. Soon will be available for viewing at the National Museum of African American History and Culture in D.C. Go Star Child, go there and make the connection. That's funny. On Boing Boing, I saw that story. And some Game of Thrones action on there as well. But with the mountain and the Vipers fight, yeah, I thought that was just a little over the top, Quentin Tarantino-esque. I just think that it was good the way it was, and I think it left it wide open for idiots who didn't know anything. That he poisoned the blades, you know. He was rubbing them down with a towel. I mean, didn't anybody notice that? But then again, they might not go with that story, and, you know, but still, the mountain got stabbed in the chest. It's pretty much over for him. But yeah, I'm glad I was able to see that small part where the squire is just rubbing down the blades, and it's like, yep, there we go. All right, I'm good. It's just, you know, people when they see that, they're like, oh no, and all this. I'm like, hey, what's the difference? They're both gonna die. And I was like, I didn't feel any way when that happened. I was like, eh, whatever. No problem. He was useful. He got rid of the mountain, and soon the hound will be dead. So. sorry for that spoiler. Oh, big storm outside hitting Taliban Joe. Maybe that's what's going on. Mars retrograde, Taliban Joe, and a storm in Carolina. Does it get any better than that? I mean, insane. A thief convicted using facial recognition technology. Sentenced to 22 years in prison. So, what's going on with this facial... yes, it does run in threes. Cop. The facial recognition here going on in Chicago, what they're doing. Well, if you didn't know anything about Chicago, they're pretty much... I think they have more cameras on the street corners than any other city. I'm not sure. I could be making that up. Who knows? But... all I know is for years when I've been going home or up to the city, I'd see these little boxes on the corner, CPD on them, blue light flashing, cameras. you know, on intersections where drug dealers were and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of this data that's being collected evidently is going into face recognition software. And this guy, who was convicted, he says 35-year-old Pierre D. Martin was sentenced this week. Chicago Sun-Times is reporting this, by the way. In February of 2003, he was filmed approaching his 20-year-old victim on board the Pink Line train. Okay, that's the L system, train system in Chicago, basically. You can look that up, CTA. There's also a nice site called People of CTA, where you can get funny pictures. It's kind of like People of Walmart, but it's People of the CTA. So you get to see good stuff like that. That's pretty much why they put up all the, in the Pal Talk chat room, I got a question about the most gang killings in Chicago. And how it's a copy off England with all their cameras. It sure is. That's why they call it Chi-Rac. This is one of Rahm Emanuel and on his way out, Mayor Daley, put up a lot of these cameras to try to reduce crime or at least have a presence out there while they were reducing real feet on the street. See, that's how they do that. They introduce the technology and then take out somewhere else. You don't think you're getting both coverage with human and camera. No, it's not a deterrent. But now this facial recognition, I think, really might crank it up once they put that out in the street. Because evidently he boarded the pink train here, pulled a gun on his victim, and demanded his phone. Which, if you're in a city in general, I don't know why you'd be out texting on your phone or playing around with it on a public line or anything. So something like that could happen at any minute. When the train began to move, he jumped off and escaped. So pulled a gun on him, all that kind of stuff. Assault with a deadly weapon, basically. He got was convicted by a judge last month of robbery. Last month on 2013 robbery, and then pled guilty to the other robbery. Crazy. Of course, he had something pending at the time when he committed that one. That's classic, too. Classic recidivist garbage. You know, that's that YOLO coming out in a criminal. That's a criminal's version of YOLO. You know, I got one pending, screw it, I'm going to get another, and then when I get to court, I'm just going to have them pile it together and get it reduced. I'll show them, idiots. You know, I've seen it a million times, that mentality. But this is the Big Brother, world's dumbest criminal. This is the Big Brother empire here coming down with the face recognition software that they can pick you up doing anything. Now, there's positives to it, of course. You're going to get sold on the crime stuff here picking up lost kids or lost elderly people for Amber Alerts or Silver Alerts or whatever alerts that are out there, you know, penis alert, I don't know, in your city. There's a penis alert in my city. No. Turn on the camera. No. It's exactly what you don't want to do, Mom. So, that's the Big Brother taking. That's Skynet taking over for you, folks. It won't be too long. They'll just issue a ticket to you right there on the spot and have a drone come out and tase you, bro. See if they can handle doing that. I'm sure that it wouldn't be too far off from it. You'll just have someone driving a drone around or flying one around. Yeah. You can't do that, Karma. If you wore a big hoodie, that's racist. Did you know that now? Nobody can wear a hoodie anymore. And oh, by the way, in his picture, he's wearing a... Oh, no, it's a jacket with a hood on it. I was like, oh, here we go. For everybody that cries, oh, why is every black man in a hoodie? You got to be a criminal. Well, he kind of was in this case. Old Pierre was here, at least. Sorry. Oh. His mugshot was in the police database following convictions on aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. Gee, pulling another gun on somebody. And possession of a stolen motor vehicle. stole a motor vehicle. Spit it out. So, yeah, he's a good guy. Upstanding member of community. But, yeah, I don't know. It was acquired last year for $5.4 million. And, of course, you know, the 22 years in prison. We know he ain't going to spend that long in no... He ain't spending 22 years in no prison for robbery. Get out of here. He'll probably do 7, 5, you know, tops, maybe even 3. He'll be disgusting, that's for sure. Good time, yada, yada, you know. UFO researcher offers adult education classes on the paranormal. Good luck to you, sir. Ray Fowler offers courses through adult education of the Kennebunk's on subjects ranging from astronomy to near-death experience at his home studio in Kennebunk. I don't know where Kennebunk is. I may have to sign up. He's written 11 books, for God's sakes. Investigations with Spook Central, a.k.a. MUFON, yada yada. Yeah, Ray Fowler, here we go. The Watchers too. I don't know what's going on there. Is that the L.A. Marzulli Watcher series, you think? No, it's a Forward by Whitley Strieber. Proby. Oh, Strieber's in the Hidden Hand movie, by the way. So he's out there rocking it with his white hair, doing his thing. Love Whitley Strieber. Never interviewed him. I think he hates me. No. I'm not even a blip on the radar. Let's face it. Oh, Maine. Kennebunk. It didn't say port, though. It didn't say Kennebunk port. You know, it just was Kennebunk. That's what threw me off. I'm a dumbass cracker, you know. Interest in the heavens. Well, he's getting awfully old, so I'm pretty sure he's concerned about the afterlife, so I don't blame him. You know, you get that age. When you get that age. Alex Jones trying to twist the cop ambush shooting to a woe is me story. Media Matters is trying to slander me. These two listen to Alex Jones. The revolution will not be televised. It will. It will, and you're going to just sit at home and watch it, basically. Just like you do now, kind of. And I don't blame you. Revolutions are dangerous, you know. They can get hurt. I got kids, man. You know. Don't worry. If I was Warren Sapp, no kids and no conscience. Get out of here. It's over. Then I'm turning off the TV. No. I don't know what's going on with this. All I know is he's yet again trying to exploit a human disaster story, basically. Big surprise. Oh, the CIA is now on Twitter, and I don't know if they're on Facebook. They have an official Facebook page. I thought that was interesting that they just do that. And then everybody and his brother was tweeting out the first tweet, which was, I can't confirm or deny that this is our first tweet or something like that. And people were like, oh, don't retweet that. I don't want them getting my information. And I was like, it's the CIA. They've already got your information. It's already over by the time you're worried about it, you know. So I just thought it was funny that they came up with that. And if you're watching on the cam, I'm waving to my daughter, to the Peanut. Hello, Peanut. Oh, it's very late for Peanut. But it's storming out, so the Peanut's up and running.
Now I want to be on camera.
Oh, you want to be on camera? Here. Yeah. There we go. We'll do the rest of the show like this with Peanut Vision. Yeah? What do you think of that, Nutter? Yeah, that guy was busy teaching people about UFOs, Peanut.
Oh.
Well, we can't type. But so we're going to wrap tonight's show up, I think. Peanut's made an executive decision and decided no more UFO stuff. Oh, the Mirage Men movie. I got to see that. That's just the same as Magic Men, isn't it?
Magic Mike.
I refuse Magic Mike.
Oh, Magic so.
So, all right. Here, peace. A piece is what we call the pacifier. Just a piece. Yes. So anyway, it is storming pretty rough out there, evidently. Jeez. Yikes. What else was I going to say? Oh, the old CIA being in on our business. They already are. I mean, you don't have to follow them on Twitter. Why would you follow the CIA on Twitter anyway, you dopes? I mean, you know, this is the same bunch that's out there, like we were talking at the beginning of the show with Taliban Joe about everybody who's fed up with everything that just wants something different. Well, these are the same fed up masses that'll basically just go for whatever because it's different. And get fed all the utopian lies and how great life will be if you vote for XYZ. I'm voting for Mickey Mouse from now on. Oh, one bombshell before I get out of here that I wanted to talk about. I have friends in low places that have approached me about possibly writing a book about the Romanek saga. The beginning, the middle, the ends, everything. Nice and dirty. So it'll be greasy. And that's when I said, what's the benefit of it? Would I just get thrown in with a debunker at that point? Would anyone look the other way? It's not going to be beneficial in my point. So, but the other point of it is that it'd be fun. And it'd be a nice starter book to do, something that doesn't really matter. So something to just get it out there. I just wonder what would make it different from any other book that'd been written about a hoaxer in the past. That's something I got to look into and find out. How many debunking books, so to speak, are there out there on famous cases or abductee hoaxers and things like that? I don't know if it's the market's there or what. And I think a big part of it would have to be the illusion of credibility that they project to a lot of the audience, you know, in general. So that's my big bombshell in the mixed bag of nuts for tonight. Hopefully you had a good time. You didn't mind me talking about my mixed bag of nuts too much. You certainly didn't mind me fondling them on camera for you. I'll do it again real quick. There we go. See, those are the advantages of coming on Pal Talk and watching the streaming video there. You get to see those kind of treats. And every once in a while you get to see my kid or kids run in here yelling and having a good time. So it's an all-around family tradition, I guess. Yeah, that's the other thing, is how long would it be? Yeah, it's like 200 pages. And I thought, you know, how much research I'd have to go into and dissect his hoax, basically, and go through the people that have debunked him in the past and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, it is time to raid the fridge. Cop, you nailed it, and it's time for me to get the hell out of here and stop wasting your time another night. I know you have many choices, but most of those other choices suck and are boring. So, and they pander to you and make you dumber. In a nutshell, make you dumber, make you more paranoid, and that's not what we do here. So we like to have fun at other people's expense and whenever possible, but usually it doesn't work out that way for the most part. See you next week, everybody. Follow me on Facebook. That's Mind Cemetery. Follow me on Twitter. Mind at Mind Cemetery. Get me to 650 likes, and then next week I'll beg for 700. But more than likes and follows, I need you to retweet, like, comment, all that kind of thing. Interact on social media, baby. That's the way it works. See you next week. Taliban Joe, take it away. Lob my head off for the folks tonight.